This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to bite into Nerds gummy clusters? They're fruity. They're tangy. They're gummy. And they're crunchy. Nerds gummy clusters, a union of fruity sweet gummy and tangy crunchy nerds. Unleash your senses. Shop now at nerdscandy.com.
Previously on Shameless. Wait, what do you mean there's no previously on for Shameless? We haven't done any Shameless yet? No, okay, fine. All right, well, we're done, okay? We're doing Shameless. That's what we're doing. We're doing a new show. Get excited for Shameless, all right? We did Pretty Little Liars season one, okay? We're done with that now. We'll do season two. Don't even worry about it. Stop worrying about it, okay? We're doing Shameless, so get on board. Here we go. Sarah's going to lead Todd and I through Shameless. So, let's do it. Stop. How'd you miss last week? Come on. Get in there. Previously on Shameless.
Hi. Welcome to Previously on Shameless. My name is Sarah Ferguson, and I am going to walk you through the first season of Shameless with my two co-hosts, but only watching the previously ons. First, I am going to introduce somebody who knows what is hidden amongst his walls. Adam H. Adam.
Amongst my walls. Yeah, I feel like you know basically what's on all of the walls.
Yeah, I would hope at this point. I did a full search within the home.
Yeah.
When I first moved in. And next up, I'm going to introduce my second co-host, Todd the Librarian, who has his very own collection of clowns.
I have a collection of many things. I think I only have like one clown figurine in my collection, though. Yeah. So,
what's the clown figurine for? What does it do?
It's actually a figure from like an anime. It's a clown-based character who... Yeah.
So it's not even it?
No, I don't have Pennywise. I have a friend that has Pennywise figurines, but I don't. It's not one of the ones I have.
So you two started this concept a little bit ago through One Indescribable Podcast. And now that Whirlwind is launched, we wanted to get another version of Previously On. Todd, you've been leading Adam, Marissa, and Lindy through Pretty Little Liars. We call it Previously Little Liars, which is such a good name. Thank you, Lindy.
Yeah, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It has been incredibly confusing for the people who have not watched the show to try and figure out what's going on through the previous ons. I've really enjoyed being on that side of it. I'm not sure how much I'm going to enjoy being on this side of it. So this is going to be like a me surrendering control and trying to open up my brain to not worry about whether any predictions I make are wrong or not. I need to stop worrying about being wrong on the internet. It's a big fear of mine, but I'm going to try to let go.
This is such a good exercise for both of you to just release control and join me in my world, right, Adam? Like,
well, in all fairness, in your world right now, you know everything that's going on. You've been binging these seasons of Shameless over in the other room while I have had to be away, and so I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. That being said, Todd, the two things I'll say, I think it'll be very good for you just emotionally and whatever to kind of give them some control. On the other side, maybe if more people were a little bit more worried about being wrong on the internet, the world would be a better place. So really, like, it really could go both ways here.
Yeah, find a balance. Find a good balance.
Is this going to be the good balance?
Definitely
don't know.
Not. Definitely I really don't not. Know. We are not finding a good balance here.
So I've watched this show probably for about 10 years. I remember I started this show pretty soon after college because one of my best college friends introduced me to it. And it's been a wild ride. I've seen most of it. I fell off in the last few seasons because of a series of events that I will not get into. But if you're a Shameless fan, you probably know. And I just want to let you guys know that there is 11 seasons to this show. I have not watched all 11 seasons, to be perfectly transparent. But Todd, you've seen like every single television show that ever existed. Like how did this miss the mark for you? Like, how did you miss Shameless in your watching?
So I think my television watching has been exaggerated slightly. I have watched a ton of TV, but some of the things that I missed were things that were on premium cable channels during a certain period of time. And this is one of those shows where I don't think I had Showtime at the point where this first started. And I got Showtime later, but I'm very much a completionist. And we're like, okay, yeah, it sounded like something I might want to watch at some point, but I need to go back and watch from the beginning. And I just never got around to watching from the beginning because there's so many other new things coming out. So it's one that I was aware of its existence. I knew who a couple of the actors, like I knew like William H. Macy was in it. I later knew Cameron Monaghan because he was on a show that you guys are both excited to get to at some point, Gotham.
So, yes. Big. Yeah, of course. We were recommended Gotham by the Chevy's waitress. And the Chevy's waitress is like, you have to watch Gotham. And you're right. Like Cameron Monaghan, who plays Ian, was doing spoilers for Gotham? I don't know.
No, we're never watching Gotham. Okay, to so be very
like,
clear.
Cameron Monaghan played the Joker, right?
Kind of, sort of. Gotham version of the Joker. He played a character named Jerome, who's kind of like the inspiration for the Joker. Mm-hmm. And then he later played the Jerome's twin brother, who may have actually been the Joker. Gotham did some really strange things with the continuity. Gotta get into it. But that's basically what he played, was like the Gotham's version of the Joker.
Yeah.
I knew that he was on Shameless, but beyond that, I knew nothing about the show.
Yeah. Adam, I have two questions for you. Number one, is it hypocritical for only rich people who can afford Showtime to watch a show about poor people on the South Side of Chicago?
I mean, there's certainly something to be said to that effect. That being said, I love the way that they like portrayed this family like right off the bat. This is going to be a very interesting thing to kind of look at going forward, only watching the previous Leons, just like we did with Pretty Little Liars. We watched episode one. So that's, you know, that's kind of our baseline is what we've seen. I liked episode one. I definitely enjoyed it. There were, you know, a few parts of it that I maybe could have done without. The length of the episode being the first thing. We can't get too far without saying that, but there were so many times where I was like, oh my God, this is like still going on. I wasn't not enjoying what was happening, but 55 minutes for one episode? That's a movie. That's pretty close to a movie. We're right on the edge of movie territory.
We're edging a movie.
Yeah, it's right there. But it was very interesting. And I think that like just going by the previous Leons for this show is going to be a much different experience than Pretty Little Liars, number one, there's no big mystery. We can't just go around saying who's A. It's probably this person. It's probably that person, which is really all that we ever did on that podcast, was not understand what's going on and then make wild claims about who A was. And so it'll be just like an interesting difference in discussion there, but certainly one that I'm looking forward to. And of course, all of the raunchy topics that we get to talk about with Todd. That's going to be great.
Yeah, yeah. So looking forward to that.
That's surprise!
such a thing that I cannot wait for us to, you know, avoid talking as much as possible about yeah. those things. Another thing that's going to be really different about this is before we hopped on to record, we just watched the Previously On, just to kind of set that. And it's very, very quick-paced Previously On compared to Pretty Little Liars. It's a very different style. And so I said, I am so glad we watched the pilot before we watched this Previously On, because I would have had zero clue about who any of these people were. Not that Pretty Little Liars, Previously On's are much better, but I think there is, like, especially initially, they did a better job, I think, of setting up what the show was if you hadn't watched the show in some ways, whereas this was just kind of like all over the place. Like, if you yeah. had no idea, like, if you would have had no idea most people were related to each other necessarily if you hadn't watched like the actual episode.
Yeah, it's definitely a bit of whiplash. And I think that pausing could behoove us taking a beat throughout. But yeah, these are 30 to 40 second Previously On recaps. And it is very, very quick paced. The editing style is very, very quick. But that's the whole thing. It's like this initial concept came about because it's like whenever we watch Previously Ons, we're always like, damn, like, why are they spoiling so much, right? Like, why in the world? Like, I feel like they just gave away the entire mystery. So this kind of was born out of the concept of like watching Previously Ons, does it give too much information? Like, does it spoil the show? Especially if you're doing like, you know, like 4D watching or some sort of like editing, paying close attention to like editing. What's the in Survivor when you pay close attention to editing? It's like called edgic. Yeah, a little bit of edgic. So let's get into the episode. I don't know if you guys want to do some sort of character recap because or if we just want to go through the Previously On.
Let's go through it, and then as we sort of get to the characters Perfect. That are brought up, we can talk about them.
Okay, so we open up with Frank sitting down on the streets, as he does, saying, "What are you looking at? This is what you missed last week on Shameless." Did you two feel accosted by this?
Slightly, but I think that's the point. But it was definitely, you started playing like, oh, did Sarah pick the wrong Previously On? Because I don't remember seeing of like Frank standing in the door when they realized, like, oh no, this is one of those shows that does that thing where every time I'm guessing the Previously On is going to be like introduced by one of the characters of the show and maybe commenting on things a little bit. It's kind of the thing I get. There aren't a lot of shows that do that. High School Musical, the musical, the series did that for everyone. Yeah, every episode was like one of the characters from High School Musical, the musical, the series, like saying, here's what you missed last time, and making like an actual commentary on, and kind of like, I think maybe even narrating a little bit over the Previously On, like all the way through, I believe. So
Todd, what you're saying is that season 3 of Previously On for World One Podcast is Felipe going through HSM TMTS with someone who hasn't seen it. That's what I'm hearing.
I mean, it's possible.
At this rate, it's inevitable, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
So we see Lip, who is played by Jeremy Allen White, which bear lovers will know him as Cammy?
Oh my gosh. Carmi. Okay, so all last night I kept calling him Carmi in all of our discussions, and Sarah was like, who's Carmi? Like, what are you talking about? And of course, like, you haven't ever seen The Bear, no. Which is it's wild to me that you haven't seen The Bear. It's like one of the greatest shows ever. But we get Carmi, a young Carmi. And I have to say, Carmi is still hot, no matter how old or young. Like, it's still,
yeah, still hot. Lip, who is short for Philip. That's how I know Jeremy Allen White. Like, I mean, the Calvin Klein ads, yes, The Bear, sure. He's an Emmy winner now, but I'll always know him as Lip from the South Side. He arrives at Karen's house and meets Sheila, who is played by Joan Cusack. And he tells her that he's there to help Karen study for her midterms. And we learn that Sheila is a Melissomobic. Todd, please help me. You know words. Melissomobic.
Something like that. It's this type of phobia. It's not one that I'm necessarily familiar with, like the terminology. There's so many different phobias out there. But basically, she's like germaphobe is basically the
exactly.
idea here.
Yeah, I think that's a politically correct term for germaphobe. She hates dirt. She hates germs. And we flash forward to seeing Karen going under the table to service lip.
That is the exact verb I was getting ready to suggest to use. Yes. Service was also a
script. Yes. Yes, and she claims that science turns her on. Adam, what do you think about science in general?
I guess I was not as into science growing up as I clearly should have been. My goodness here, Karen. At some point, we're probably going to have a conversation around what we can and can't say on this podcast. Because this is not even close to the most like suggestive or whatever vulgar thing that happened in the. I mean, we saw a full grown man's penis just right there, the screen. Admittedly, not in the recap, but and maybe that will sort of be a theme going forward. Of these, these previously ones are not going to get into full. Detail or whatever is what we see. Because even with this, as Karen is, going down and servicing lip here, this happens multiple times in the, it's not even just lip that gets serviced. And we always, no. Like, this isn't even the only time that this character does this action. So it's like, we're really going there. I was not as into science, and I don't know if I necessarily buy that science turns her on, but I think she was just trying to service is really,
It's highly possible. I guess any excuse, but Ian has to like spout the same sort of thing off later in order to like, I guess, pay the toll for her to do this.
Pay the toll.
Yeah. So we know from watching the first episode that Lip is trying to make money. Like he's going here. He tutors. He's a very interesting character because he's like a genius, essentially. Like he is like extremely smart and he is doing this for the $100 or whatever he gets for helping her study. And it seems as though the servicing is just an extra gift, a little gifty, which seems nice.
Yeah. He was definitely surprised by it. It was not part of the prearranged thing. Because even like clarified, even though this is happening, I still expect to get paid, right? This is not in substitution for the money. I do want to say like this is like one of the parts in the previously on where they start doing kind of like a weird, like you see like little still shots of the sequence. You don't actually see like the sequence play out. You see like several like frames from different parts of this. So it's like kind of like jarring a little bit, but they don't show you like the full scene. They just show you like little bits and pieces of the scene as it's going, which is kind of like an interesting way to do the previously on.
Yeah, it looks like my computer needed to be buffering a little bit better, but it's just the editing style. Any initial thoughts on Sheila?
I was surprised. I took me a little bit by surprise. I was like, we were just watching it. I was like, oh my God, like, is that really what's going on here? And the question that I asked was like, is she like in this more than just this first episode? I was, is this just a rando guest appearance? From her. I guess we're gonna see more of Sheila and her creepy clowns. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, I saw her name pop up in the opening credits and went, oh, Joan Cusack's in this? And I was very excited. So I thought that she was like an interesting character, very oblivious about everything. Like even if everything is blowing up, she has absolutely zero idea what's going on. She's like, they're just a study group. <That's> no clue what's actually been happening under her roof, under her table. So yeah, I thought she's gonna be like a one-off thing, but definitely the first episode made it seem like she might be around for at least another episode or two, so I'm curious to see if we will see her at all, or if it's gonna be one of those Pretty Little Liars situations where, yeah, if you watch the episode, you'll see tons of Sheila, but if you watch the previous ons, she will never show up again, or we'll only see clips from the very first episode with her. So I'm curious to see how that all unfolds.
Yeah, only time will tell. So we see Fiona, who is played by Emmy Rossum, who I know Emmy Rossum, of course, from being Christine in Phantom of the Opera. That was her first role at only 16 years old. They just found her with a powerhouse of a voice. And this is a very different character for Emmy Rossum, but it was amazing for me being 22 and seeing her, because it was just exciting for me. And she is hooking up with Steve on the kitchen counter. We see a little bit of man butt, which, hey, like, I'm not knocking it. And we cut to a scene where Fiona is like dismissive of Jimmy and like wants him to leave. And he wants to leave her his number. And she doesn't seem like she's really into it. Or maybe she feels like it's too good to be true is maybe more like it. Steve is played by Justin Chatwin. Todd, do you know Justin Chatwin from anywhere else?
Yeah, I know him from a few things. Like, he's not like a super popular actor. He's like but I know him from a few like kind of weird, offbeat films. I think the big thing most people might recognize him from was the Steven Spielberg War of the Worlds. Mm-hmm. He was in that. I believe he was like one of Tom Cruise's kids in that. But I've seen him in a few things. So whenever he popped up, I'm like, oh, it's Justin Chatwin. I don't know why he sticks out to me, because again, I haven't seen him in a whole lot. But one film, so he did do a musical. With Jane Levy from Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. So they starred in a musical together. So that was like one thing. But also, he's in another movie with another cast member from Shameless, where the premise is Kate Micucci's pets turn into humans and try to date her. And Justin Chatwin plays her cat, who's become a human and is trying to seduce her.
Wait, what movie is this?
It's called Unleashed, I believe. It's a very strange It's a very strange movie, but Justin Chatwin is my favorite part of that. Every time he's like playing like a cat in a human body, it's just like hilarious to me. So it's like by far the best thing about that movie. But another character in the film, another character in the show, and I'll talk about that when we get there, is his co-star who plays the dog in that movie.
So interesting. Adam, so much to say. I'm really going to hold back from saying like what if one of our dogs become a human. So I'm gonna put a pin in that. I know that you don't like that idea, but how are you feeling in the first episode about Fiona and Steve?
I like them both. They were characters that I actually like was rooting for, maybe not even necessarily to be together, but I do like them both. And I think like this is sort of a theme for almost all of the characters from the first episode. I like them. Like, I want them to do well and just have a nice little life off in their world. It's not going to happen, but basically everyone except for Frank, I really do like, and maybe that's like part of the point for sure. Steve is an interesting one. He really like comes in, and I think I struggled to get a read on him for the first probably 30, 40 minutes of the episode until we sort of got the reveal, which we'll talk about later on, of the car stuff. I was struggling to sort of get a read on like what this character was and like why he was here, like why he was involved with Fiona at all. And so like that was a little bit of a question mark for me, but I like them together. I'm rooting for them together. This feels like a, you know, we're talking about what, 12 seasons of the show. This feels like a multi-season character that's going to be in here, out of here, all over the place for at least a good long while. Yeah. Also, I know him from a Christmas special of Doctor Who he was in, with freaking Nardal and Peter Capaldi.
Wow. Lip finds Ian, who we discussed earlier, Cameron Monaghan of Gotham fame, finds Ian's dirty magazine clippings. The folder itself, it was like a manila folder. On the outside, it was pictures of women, but when he opens it up, it is pictures of men. And he tells Ian that he's disappointed because he thought that they told each other everything. This was a surprise for him. And we see a clip of him at the convenience store that Ian works at. And he confronts Ian about hooking up with the guy at the convenience store, who through the episode, watching the episode, we find out that that is one of his bosses at the convenience store. Ian works at the convenience store. Somehow, Adam, how did you find out what this guy's name was?
I mean, I don't know. Like, we all know how poor I am with names as we were going throughout. But after we watched episode one last night, Sarah was basically quizzing me of just like, who do you know? Who do you remember? And I think I said like Diane or something, which wasn't even a name in the episode. Yeah, no so Diane. That was a tough start. And then I was like, Cash. that's who I
remember. I was just like, how did you do that? Like, and where did you get that name from?
I don't know. I found this storyline fascinating. I don't know why I like glommed on to Lip and Ian and Cash and like the whatever convenience store job of it all. I found it like a very interesting storyline that I'm like looking forward to seeing play out to some very messy conclusion. Like, this is not going to end in a good way for anyone involved, and I want to see it. So I don't know. I really did like the storyline though.
Todd, any thoughts about Lip's discoveries?
I knew next to nothing about the show. I knew Cameron Monaghan was on it. I had no idea that he was going to be the closeted character on the show. I had no idea. So that was like a huge surprise to me that's like, you know, right at the gate that we're getting that for the character. So I'm very curious to see where it all goes. I think that, you know, Lip's initial reaction, in the previous on, it's very much just like how could you do this to me? And by not telling me more than anything else, but in the actual episode, there was a lot more to him, like working his way through that. Mm-hmm. So it's again interesting that the previous on just kind of shows you like the big overview of it. So I'm definitely curious to see where it goes. Like Adam said, I feel like the whole cache of it all is going to get very, very messy. I recognize the Margaret Moreau, who plays like the cache's wife, who we don't see in the previously on. I've seen her in quite a few things. I believe she's in the Wet Hot American Summer, among other things. She's like one of the main characters in that. I think she was like in like there was a reboot of the Firestarter franchise, and I think she was in one of those. I've seen her in a few things, and one of the things are because she is playing a woman who has converted to being a Muslim. Because of Cash, from what they said. So whenever you first see her, she does have her head wrapped in everything. So her voice, I recognized before I recognized her.
Oh, okay.
You know, yeah. So she's talking, I'm like, I know that voice. Why do I know that voice? And then I saw, finally, there's like a good close-up of her face, like, oh, that's why I know her. Whether we'll see her more and whether that will ever be a thing that gets revisited, I have to assume it will. I have to assume this will blow up enough to be a previously on thing at some point.
Let's take a quick break for some ads.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Whether you're making a delicious family meal or a post-workout snack, choose the farm-fresh taste of Eggland's Best eggs. Only Eggland's Best hens are fed their proprietary all-vegetarian feed. That's what makes their eggs more nutritious. With 10 times more vitamin E, 25% less saturated fat, and 6 times more vitamin D compared to ordinary eggs. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're gonna love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
So Karen's dad finds Ian getting a blowjob from Karen under the dining table and winds up chasing Lip and Ian out of the house. So Karen's dad, whose name is Eddie, finds them in this compromising position. And from the episode, we know that Lip brought Ian to Karen's because kind of what Todd was saying, just like trying to process, like, what is Ian's sexuality? Like, could he enjoy some sort of servicing from a woman? And essentially, it was just like, I don't know. Like, I mean, like, Ian was like an active participant in like coming to this, but it was definitely also in the guise that he was going to help with, was it physics or something science or math, or I'm not quite sure. So Eddie yells at Karen and Sheila and packs his a box and leave. And Karen throws a clown lamp at him as he's leaving, and they break the window. So, Adam, what's up with the clowns?
I don't get it. This was very confusing to me as I was watching this, even as I saw the full context of the scene and watched all of it. So we obviously see the discovery. The apple falls to the ground. It was very dramatic, very slow. I loved that part of it. It was the apples falling down. Everyone's looking at each other like, oh, no. And then he looks down. He finds what's going on. He then flips the table. Okay, so I'm still tracking up to this point. He's like flipping the table. He's getting very upset. He's like yelling around. Then they run away. Okay, I'm still there. And then after that, he is like, "You did this to his wife, who Joan Cusack. It's your fault, Joan Cusack. Yeah. It's your the reason for this." He then packs his clown stuff, her clown stuff. I don't know. He packs all of the clown stuff. That's the only stuff he packs. And then he leaves. Whose clown stuff was it? Was it his? Was it hers? Is he upset? Is he leaving forever? Is all he wants in this life the clown stuff? Like, what are the clowns?
So this is the big A mystery of Shameless. Who's the clowns? Who's the clowns? Todd, whose clown stuff is this? What is this clown stuff?
I'll be honest, I didn't pay enough attention to what was being packed up. I didn't realize that he was packing up the clown.
It was only clowns!
Literally a box of, like, clown dolls. And the object that Karen threw out the window, smashing the window, was a clown lamp.
So, basically, so it wasn't that she was just throwing a random thing at him. She's throwing his clown lamp at him in anger, I think.
I can't say if it was his or not. You all don't know.
It's yeah, very somebody. True. I think if he is actually packing up clown dolls, unless he's trying to do it to hurt his wife, like, I am taking half of the clown collection.
I mean,
that will show you.
That could have been it, though. I mean, I don't know.
Also, do y'all know who plays him?
No. Who plays Eddie?
That's Joel Murray, a.k.a. Bill Murray's brother.
Oh.
He's been in lots of things. He was in Mad Men, for one. I first saw him, there was an old sitcom called Love and War. He was also a major character on Dharma and Greg. He's been on lots of sitcoms and lots of things over the years. But yeah, he's Bill Murray's a brother.
Wow. Who knew? Okay. So Fiona and Steve are at a fancy dinner. And he reads her for not being into him because he's not dangerous or fun enough in her mind. Like, he's privileged, he grew up with money, blah, blah, blah. And Fiona's like, yeah, like, you're right. Like, I'm into, like, a different kind of brand of guy. And then we see Jimmy. They leave the restaurant. Jimmy somehow is now in a valet outfit. And he goes into somebody else's silver fancy-ass car And then he drives off, comes back, and he admits that he doesn't buy cars and sell cars. He just takes cars and sells cars. And he asks Fiona if she is still looking for fun.
I loved this. The first thing I'll say, this dinner, I don't know exactly what her drink is. Some kind of like espresso martini situation with like a little, I don't even know what this is. It looks very, very good though. I would highly recommend, I would want one. I really do want one. But like this sort of puts things, a little bit more into clarity in terms of why he's here, why he was attracted to her in this sort of lifestyle, which was sort of my big question mark throughout episode one, because we see this family do wild things to get money. And just like right from the very beginning, they're all passing around like, you know, the electric, or they're going around, they're like stealing toilet paper or whatever from things, or they're like skimming off all kinds of different stuff. And it was like, who is this guy who's like coming in and doing all this stuff? This now tracks for me. Like, he is the very similar energy, attracted to very similar energy. I love this. Eat the rich, you know, take their cars and parade them around and do whatever you're doing. She is looking for a fun time. You're looking for a fun time. I'm looking for a fun time. And I think these two are going to be it.
Okay. So Todd, what does it say that Fiona was not that into to Steve when he was just like a nice rich guy, but now that he steals cars, she happily gets into the car with him?
I mean, girls love bad boys. I mean, that's the yes. message, right? That's the yep. thing that we're getting from this. I know that's why Sarah's with Adam there. It's like that total that bad yep. boy energy Adam yep. throws mm-hmm. off.
Yeah.
But yeah, like in the episode, he kind of gets into like, he psychoanalyzes her like big time during their date together about how she's like scared of you know, committing to possibly things being too good, that maybe she doesn't deserve this, that she's been hurt in the past, but she thinks she'll definitely be hurt with someone. But if he's like a bad guy like she's used to, then maybe she won't get hurt, even though those types have hurt her. But every type has hurt her. I don't know. I think Fiona has some trust issues, probably stemming from multiple things in her life, probably mostly Frank, just kind of like the big thing. But yeah, once she realized that, okay, there is I think the biggest fear was that, why would someone like this want someone like me? Why would this guy who has his own business, you know, once he sees my family and really gets to know my family and how messed up they are, you know, why would he stick around? But if he's a thief, oh, well, I know if he's a thief, then he's not going to be judging the little petty things that we do. So yeah, there's more a possibility there.
Yeah. So we get a Frank voiceover talking about how Kevin and Veronica are fantastic neighbors, and we see them all partying together in the Gallagher living room. Todd, what did you think about Kevin and Veronica? Because we get to meet them a little bit in the pilot episode.
So I loved Veronica. I loved every moment that Veronica was on screen and like being like the partner in crime with Fiona, with everything, like the stuff with the tag on the dress, and when coming in and critiquing Fiona's method of dealing with Lip's injury, and her giving her guy like a hard time of it all. Like, that was all great. And as for him, he's played by Steve Howie, who I first knew from the Reba McEntire sitcom Reba.
Yes.
He played Van, the dim bulb boyfriend.
A single mom who works too hard, who loves her kids but never stops. But thank goodness Steve Howie is there, who's the baby daddy of Cheyenne,
yeah.
right?
Yep, yep. Cheyenne's baby daddy.
Of course, yeah. Of course. Oh my God.
Yeah, so he was always one of my favorite things on Reba. I always thought he was hilarious. And he's the guy who plays the dog in the movie where he gets turned into. So yeah, and so he does really good with that big puppy dog energy. That was like basically yes. Van on Reba was big puppy dog energy. And so in that movie, he was like, he along with Justin Chatwin, they were the two pets that got transformed for the romantic entanglement of all. So it was really fun to see him pop up in this. I'm still not completely, I don't know, completely sold on his character on this, but I thought he was fun. You know, at first, like he got like really upset whenever he got called stupid you know, there. But then whenever they come in after Frank's blaring the music, he's like, I've told you, if you're going to play the music, you got to play something that we can, you know, bop along to or whatever. Yeah. And so it's not the fact that they're objecting to Frank blasting the music late at night. It's that it's not the music they want to listen to. So they're happy to stay up all night listening to music as long as it's like their type of music.
Well, and Todd, we got to see his penis.
That too.
So, you know, there's that.
More than what you bargained for, maybe. Adam, what did you think about the next door neighbors? What if these were our next door neighbors?
I would move. So this is like the real problem. Not a real problem. I am very much enjoying watching this on TV. If this was a real life situation and I either lived in this house or next to this house, I would not be interested in that. Now, sometimes I'm a little worried that we are a version of these neighbors that other people around us are like, we don't really want to be next to them. And maybe that's why everyone around us keeps moving all the time.
So our downstairs neighbor moved out recently. And the speculation as to why they moved out, like, we've been speculating.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, are we the bad neighbors? We're certainly not as bad as this. We don't blare. I mean, I don't even like moderately loud music, let alone like actually loud. Like, I don't know.
But
I
can't. We're like podcasting, like nonstop.
Can people hear this? I don't know. Probably. Actually, I mean,
yeah, you do get loud too, Adam.
So. Yeah, I do. I can get loud too. I don't think Sarah gets as loud. Yeah, it's probably. I don't know. Maybe that's what's going on. But I would not want to be any part of what's happening here.
Yeah, but they seem to have a good time. We see the last few sequences of Steve hanging out with Fiona and Frank. They had. Frank was there when Fiona and Steve came home and they get high together. And it seems like Steve's like fitting in, like he's in on the joke with Frank. He's kind of like nagging at him without Frank really noticing. And essentially, like, Frank likes Steve. He said so much. And then we end the previously on with Steve sitting down to a meal with the Gallagher family with Frank passed out on the kitchen floor. So that's how we ended the episode, and that's how we ended the previously on. And I mean, all's well in the Gallagher households, right? Right?
I mean, I'm sure it will stay that way. I'm sure there will be no complications whatsoever in any of their love lives or in their attempts to keep afloat financially. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that there will, you know, Frank will straighten his act up now with the Steve there as a positive influence. You know, it's just going to be like rainbows and lollipops from here on out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, without question. The one thing I will say, and this will be maybe something interesting to look at going forward, I was a little upset that we saw none of the washing machine in the previously on because of how big of a thing it was in the episode. And so I just kind of wonder, like, how much of this show are we going to lose from the previously on? Because I think it's going to be like a different type of loss than a like Pretty Little Liars. I think we're probably going to lose a similar percentage in terms of like a lot of things are going to make the show that don't make the previously on, just as in any show that you would just watch the previously on. But I feel like it's going to be more like detailed story plot, you know, as opposed to like character stuff. Because even in all of this, we sort of got to see a little snippet of the characters. We didn't see a lot of like the plot of what's going on here. We didn't see like taking care of the injury. We didn't see the washing machine. We didn't see the bar scene where they're running. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't see a lot of those types of things, but we got to see the characters. So I think it's going to be okay. It'll just be interesting to think about like what the loss is in terms of the episode versus the previously on, because I think it will be different.
I think that's really fair. And then once again, like, it just like stems from this is like a science experiment, essentially. We are just trying to figure out if it reveals too much. And we'll see. Only time will tell. So we are going to go on a quick ad break, and then we are going to talk about our last thoughts of the pilot episode and some predictions. And we are back. So before we wrap up the episode, I am dying to know, overall thoughts, what did you think of the episode? is this something that you think that you would watch in real time? Is it something that you feel like is it something, a show that like you would actually watch?
1,000% yes. Like I finished the first episode and I was angry that I agreed to do this previously on thing, because now I'm not going to be able to watch any of the episodes for who knows how long. No, I really enjoyed it. I think it has an amazing cast. Like every character that I knew from beforehand, you know, there's so many actors that I recognize. I thought they did a great job. Even the ones I didn't really know, I thought did a really great job. I think the writing was really good. I love the relationship between the family. Like a thing that we didn't get to see in the previous eons, so I love this. One of the very first scenes of all the kids around the table chipping in money for electricity, telling the youngest one, you're going to start pulling your weight pretty soon. You know, you're what, 6 now? You need to start chipping in, you know? And just like the camaraderie between the family that they're not at each other's throats, which I think is like a real temptation for a show like this, to have them always bickering. But no, they're all trying to pitch in, all trying to make it work. And I love that aspect of it. And I would love to see the evolution of that, because I'm sure there will be. We see some friction between Ian and Lip in this episode. I'm sure there will be friction between the family members. But I love the fact that the starting point is they're trying to make it work because their parents are garbage. And they are having to be the adults and having to do everything. And I'm really interested in seeing how that aspect evolves, and I just don't think we're going to be getting that much of it on the previously ons, so I would definitely watch this in real time.
Yeah, I would definitely go back and watch it. I don't know that this is a show that I would have otherwise ever watched. I don't know, it just like never got on my radar as like a you would like this or this would be a good show for you. As much as I do like the cast into like the first episode, I think like the only big like red flag for me as I were, you know, if I were to go back and watch it, I don't know how much tolerance I have for a character like Frank. And I think that some people, and I don't even mean this in a negative way at all, but some people enjoy watching that type of character on a show. And it's not like the show was ever trying to get us to root for him or you know, get behind a type of character like this as it you know, wouldn't with a lot of other shows too. I just don't know that I have the kind of tolerance for watching that as much as some other people do. And so I actually think that a previously on only format for this is going to be really good for me in terms of a like first kind of pass through, because even in this first episode, most of the times when Frank was on the screen, which admittedly like wasn't a ton during the episode, but it wasn't nothing. I'm even thinking of like the bar scene or even all the stuff at the end. Like I wanted to punch him in the mouth. Like I really did not like this character at all. It was not enjoyable for me to watch. I loved a lot of the other parts of the episode, but I didn't really enjoy the times when Frank was there. And that really wasn't the case in just the previously on. We didn't get to see those parts of the episode where it was just like Frank being an absolute dick. Like we did not see that happening in the previously on. And I think that's going to be good for me overall. I just don't have the same kind of tolerance to watch that type of characters. I know some other people do, but for some people that's like a big factor of like, I, this is a hateable character and I'm going to hate him. And I love hating him. Like some people really enjoy that and full respect to that. Like, you know, just different types of styles. I just don't have the kind of tolerance for it.
Yeah, I think that is a good point. Frank is definitely the aspect of the episode that I enjoyed the least. And he's barely in this. And if it kept that way where he's just like a kind of periphery character, it definitely would be easier to get through the show. But I do, you know, suspect that he is going to become a larger looming figure. Like this one, he's almost like looming in his absence, conspicuous in his absence and everything. But once he gets introduced, I feel like, yeah, he will be like a more major thing. And it would be one of the things that would probably frustrate me more watching it. But my tolerance for those characters varies. So I'd have to see how it worked on a week by week basis for me.
Yeah, I'm really excited to go through this with the both of you. I think it's going to be like a really fun, task to go through this mess. There were 3 characters of the Gallagher family that we didn't talk about. We'll talk about them in the future, but Debbie, Carl, and Liam, the 3 littlest Gallaghers, more on them later. Right now, not so important, but those are 3 people that we didn't even say in this podcast, but they're there. And I mean, that's about it. We're going to cover the episode 2, Frank the Plank. That is the episode title. Any initial guesses what that means? I mean, I barely know. So.
My hope is that we see him kind of in this position, just lying down on the ground at the end of the first episode. I hope that he stays there the whole episode. Like my ideal scenario is the whole episode is just kind of different characters coming in and out of this kitchen as Frank just lays there like a plank the whole time. That's my hope.
See, my hope is it's kind of like a Slip and Jimmy situation where he's known as that because he likes to, like, you know, get hit in the face with a plank to try and, like, you know, scam people. And so we get to see Frank get hit in the face with a plank quite a few times. He's trying to, you know, get on more disability or sue someplace. Like, why'd you have this plank lying around? Look how injured I am. That's my guess. What Frank
like. I like okay. This. Every prediction is just going to be Todd and I just like, man, I hope that Frank gets absolutely wrecked next episode.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
Big hopes dreams over here. So this is the launch week of Whirlwind Podcast, our brand new podcast network, and I'm really, really proud of this project with the both of you. I think it's as well as Lindy and Melissa, it's going to be really fun. So we're going to be putting out Previously on Shameless episodes on Mondays and Wednesdays, but that's not it. So Adam, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're working on at Whirlwind Podcast.
Yeah, we got a lot going on. So One in a Scarlet Podcast, we're going through season 3 of Girls 5 Ever. That's on Saturdays. We got Whirlwind Investigations. Melissa and I are going through Veronica Mars. And then, of course, we got Inside the TARDIS with Melissa and Kevin. We're doing Doctor Who. So go check it out, Whirlwind Podcast, at Whirlwind Pods.
And Todd, what are you working on at Whirlwind?
So, like Adam, I'm involved with One Scarlet Podcast. We're going through season 3 of Girls 5 Eva now. And then starting tomorrow, Tommy and I will be doing Tuning In with Todd and Tommy, where we'll be talking through everything animation. We'll be doing like broad overviews of entire seasons of shows. We'll also do more themed things, like talking about live action adaptations or top 10 favorite anime characters or things like that. And we'll be kicking it off with an overview of the first season of the X-Men, the animated series show from the 90s.
Beautiful. So you can find all of that at Whirlwind Pods, Whirlwind Podcasts on Twitter and Instagram, whirlwindpodcast@gmail.com if you want to send in feedback. And you can visit us on our website, www.whirlwindpodcast.com. All that good stuff and more. And we'll be back next time to talk about Frank the Plank, where maybe Frank will be doing the planking. Isn't that something that people used to do in the 2000s? They just planked?
Yeah.
Or, yeah. So maybe that's what he's up to. Only time will tell. But until next time, bye.